Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Kings of Queen City podcast. And that was rough. Yeah, that was just bad.
It was one of those days where you wake up, it looks weird outside, it feels weird outside. I don't know how I felt before the game. I thought they had a really good chance to win it. I think they were by far the better offense, just in my opinion. And I know that's kind of a hot take. But when you beat yourselves, I mean, that's what's going to happen. And the Chargers are good enough to, you know, kind of expose you if you do not come out with your best game. It just sucks that they can't win more than two games. I think it's not crazy to say they just don't know how to win yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're completely right. I think the biggest, the biggest thing I took away at the beginning was we were all kind of shocked of how little people were there. I think it was because it was supposed to be a really ugly game, like an ugly day. And it turned out being a really nice day, which was kind of shocking. But I saw that T mentioned something about their energy was low, which I don't think was necessarily true. I do think it was a lower crowd, but I still thought it was pretty, they were pretty engaged, especially because of the playoff push. But I mean, also when you're down 22 in the first quarter, you're going to kind of lose all the energy right off the rip. But yeah, it was a weird game. Everything that could have gone wrong at the beginning did, but that seemed like that happens a lot for this offense. And that's obviously not a recipe for success.
Yeah, it's just really disappointing that, you know, all week you hear is Zach Taylor and the players talking about how big of a game it is and how everybody needs to show up and be loud. And I'll be completely honest, the worst atmosphere for a game all year.
I for sure. And I mean, that makes sense when it's 13,000 less than a sellout.
Yeah.
Well, it was technically a sellout, but there was less than 13,000 people there.
And what's crazy, it was a majority Bengals fans.
Yeah.
There were really not a lot of Chargers fans. And it's just so disappointing that, and the players won't say it, but as a fan, you definitely should. This is where they need you. And for the past five or six seasons, we haven't had a team to root for. And it's the first time we've been playing meaningful games in December. And that's the first crowd. I mean, that's disappointing. And hopefully it's not like that for the rest of these games this year. There's still four more really, really big home games. Or three more. I think there's three more.
Yes. Yeah. Chiefs, 49ers, Ravens, Niners.
Yeah.
And I really hate to say it, but this 49ers game becomes must win. Like, you really have to win this game.
They're all must. You got to win them all. The Chargers was a must win. It's to that point of the year where it's a race. It's a race to 10 wins, honestly.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, they're still in the driver's seat. You still have the best thing that they have for them is they still have the Ravens and the Browns ahead of them. So there's still a very real possibility where you win the AFC North, which, I mean, I'm not sure how likely that is, just considering the fact of how they've looked recently coming off big wins and stuff. But I do think the Ravens are down. They're super banged up. So obviously we play them later in the year, so they're probably going to get more healthy, but I think that's an interesting matchup. That game's probably going to be your season. I mean, whether you like it or not, that's where it gets hard because it depends on how you come out these next three games. But again, if we know the Bengals, they'll probably win two, lose the third. So, and even then, I mean, then what? You're sitting at 9-8? You're sitting at 9-8?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, it's tough. I told you before I had a take or a question. Do you think they're a good team?
Yeah, I think they're a good team. I just think that they don't know how to win. I know it sounds crazy, and they when I say that they don't know how to win, they don't know how to come off of a big win, and they don't know how to they're prone to the hangover games. And I'll be honest, I said this the whole time. They need to stop deferring, because once they're down, their game script does not play well, because their game script is to come out and run the ball.
Yeah.
And then the thing is a lot of things have to go well for them. And if it doesn't, then a lot of times you see them go down quick, like 14-0 with 5 minutes left in the first. And after that, it's just hard because your pass protection just is not meant for to be playing from behind that big of a deficit. And you kind of saw that in the Chargers don't have a good defensive line. Bosa didn't even play.
Especially with Bosa out, that is a very bad defensive line. And it's what you said, that this offensive line is not, they cannot sustain pass blocks when you need it. When the other team knows you're going to pass the ball, when you're down by a lot, and they have free abandonment, they can run whatever they want. They just have to get home. that this offensive line cannot hold up. And I don't think it's necessarily, it's not the left side of, it's center over. And that's where it gets hard, especially when you're running out Hakeem, Prince, and Trey Hill. It's just, one, you have an inexperienced offensive line for the first time together, which definitely sucks. It's not an excuse, but it's definitely going to make everything a lot harder. Trey Hill had some bad snaps. They had some bad, there were just some bad calls too, just with some holds and stuff. They got penalties, which is terrible. The line just looked bad. And I mean, it's what you said. It's hard to have your game plan be to run the ball, but then have to. And my thing is, I think you can still be okay with running the ball. It's, I think, as an offense, they need to be okay with being behind. Where I think their issue is, I don't think it happened with the Chargers. I think what happened was they got really unfortunate with some turnovers. I mean, that Jamar ball probably changes, I hate saying it, but this game and the Browns game, those early turnovers really change the game, especially in those situations they're in both there. But that probably changes the game, because if not, you can run the ball a little bit more. They were running the ball not better, but if you can do that, you can maybe establish a run a little bit more. But then once you're down 16-0, you have to start taking shots and you have to change with it. But you can play that brand of football while being down. I just don't think the Bengals are super comfortable with it.
Yeah, and you see that. It almost looks like they kind of start to freak out a little bit.
They don't like being behind.
Yeah, and especially you can see it in the run game. It looks like they're really trying to force something, and then you start seeing random shot plays.
Yeah.
And instead, and this game looked just so much different than the last two, because, I mean, the run didn't work, but it's also, It was very clear early on that they were going to be able to have shot plays. As soon as Bosa came out, I said, you should pass the ball every time.
Yeah.
Especially early on when the game was still kind of close. And you saw that as they started chipping away at the lead, their pass rush was basically non-existent. And it's just a frustrating game. And I think another thing that just was so odd to me, every single ball Herbert threw up was just caught.
Yeah, I think I saw something where on contested grabs, I think they were like 6 for 6. I don't think they dropped a contested situation.
But it was fun. I mean, we got to see them throw the ball combined almost 80 times.
Yeah.
And that's exactly kind of what we wanted. And it sucks too. Burrow's interception, like one of those is not an interception. You could make a big case that Burrow could have had almost 400 yards.
Oh yeah, for sure.
If Chase catches that, there's another 300. There's another 50. However, yeah. Yard, that was a 50 or 60 yarder. It's just so frustrating. It's a big what if game, and all of their losses are that way. I know we talked about this after the game. You can point to every single game, maybe other than the Browns. I think the Browns game is the only one where
the Bears. I would say they didn't. I don't really blame the Bears game on particularly anybody. I just think that was they're very young. That's the first time that's the second game. That's the first game they're really coming off a win in this era. And then also that's their first, Joe Burrow's first true away game. And I mean, it's the second game of the season. Nobody really knows what they're doing. And Joe looked bad, but yeah, every game that it's funny because they're in kind of the opposite situation or similar situation where the Vikings are, where the Vikings have lost a ton of games on what ifs, where the Bengals, I'd say, have won some, but they've also lost games on what ifs too. But it just seems like the Bengals, I just can't wrap my head around this team. I don't think anybody can. That's the issue, is you have games where you completely wax opponents. And I think in every game you can point to a team where they lost close to a good team. They lost bad to a bad team. They won good against a good team. And then they won bad against a bad team.
Yeah. And I think the weirdest part in what frustrates me so much, I think that right now the Bengals are probably the most complete team. Burrow's playing, he's not playing great. I won't say he's playing great. He's playing well.
Yeah.
You look at the Ravens. Who knows what to make of them? Lamar has been bad.
He's been bad the last month.
And then you look at the Steelers. That's a team that last week I thought, that's a bad team.
They're dead.
And then they come out and beat the Ravens. You just
off a weird call by the Ravens.
Yeah. But I also, I just can't figure out this division. And it all feels the exact same. And my worry, and this may be getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, they haven't won more than two in a row this year. If they win two in a row, coming out of that game will be the Ravens. The biggest game of their season. I mean, think about it like that.
That's an ultimate letdown spot.
It is.
Because if somehow you win two straight coming out of that Oh, wait, no, it's because it's 49ers, Broncos, Chiefs, Ravens, Browns.
No. The Ravens game is the 26th. The Chiefs game is the 2nd.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. So the Ravens game would be coming out of it, too, if they won. Like, yeah. It's a big what if. And the Broncos, they're not a bad team.
Yeah, but I like the defense matchup there. But, yeah. But again, their defense is good. So.
Yeah. And so we'll see, but I don't know what to make of this team, honestly.
And the worst part about the game is you got injured. Like, that's ultimately the worst part. Like, if you just get waxed and you're okay, like, then it's the Browns game. You lost one, you move on, whatever. But you got waxed and you're injured. Joe got hurt, like, Samaji and Joe got hurt, Joe Mixon, and then T got hurt. Then defense side of the ball, you're super depleted now. Cheeto got banged up. Logan Wilson got banged up. Still haven't said what's going on with that. I saw Zim say something about a labrum. So if it's labrum, he's done for the year. I mean, it was just bad. All around bad.
Well, so from what I have seen this morning, we're recording on Monday night. It looks like Zach says he thinks that a lot of those guys are going to be back. He thinks Bailey's back. Ouzier's back. He thinks Hopkins and Reef are going to play. That would be big.
I would hope so.
They would need them back. Batchy played well. I don't feel great, especially with Kittle and their run and Debo Samuel.
No, I would Debo still. I think he's still questionable, but
oh, he is.
Kittle just absolutely murdered the Seahawks. So
yeah,
you think their linebackers are bad? They have Bobby Wagner at least. So
yeah, and
love Logan Wilson, but I don't think he's Bobby Wagner.
Well, I'm just the injuries could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, but when I look into it, just this matchup, I don't like it all.
We'll see. Here's the thing. I just don't even know how to feel about games anymore. It's almost a waste of time. The only game I felt good about this year was the Steelers game, and they waxed them. Other than that, I walk in, and I just say, I don't know. I don't know. And that's the whole thing with the AFC, too. You just don't know.
Yeah, the AFC's been so weird. But that's the only reason that the Bengals are in it, is because they're in a weird AFC. I mean, they have enough wins where they look into it. It's just so weird when you look back on all the games and everything that happened. I'm trying to think of what are the big takeaways from the Chargers game to kind of keep us on track a little bit more. Jermaine Pratt, career game, played really well. I mean, I saw Sands tweet something like, Jermaine Pratt doesn't do anything super sexy, but he's probably one of the most sound players on the team, and I agree. He's insane. I mean, Trey Hendrickson continues the sack streak, which we were talking about a little bit before. I think he's probably, in my opinion, also like looking at it from like not doing a ton of research, I think he's probably one of the best free agency signings the Bengals have ever had at this point. I mean, the big thing with Carl Lawson was the inconsistency, and Trey Hendrickson has been the exact opposite. He's been really consistent. Maybe not the best run stopper in the world, but he's going to get after the quarterback at least once a game at this rate. I mean, defensively, and that's the thing is, I don't think we talked about this at the game. You can't really blame this on the defense. I think they were, one, put in really bad spots, and then when they were there, most of the time they didn't play terribly, and then they fight all the way back to, one, go down 24-22, and then you lose a fumble, and then from there you're kind of already done. Like, it's 30-22, and then you're already kind of out of it. So,
and this could be this might be a cliche thing to say too, but in all of their games they lose, there's always a turnover that just completely screws. I think if Mixon holds on to that ball, they win the game.
I probably agree too. I am of the camp that I do think momentum is real. And especially in a game where you have not a full stadium, but I think in a game like football where the stadium's full, and I definitely think that feeds into things. And yeah, I think if he holds on to that, even if they just get a field goal out of that, I still think they end up winning the game. It just sucks. And I agree. I think there is, and that is the epitome. That's a good, bad football team. That's a turnovers are what are going to win and lose you games, especially if you're the team. And that's the weird thing, too, is they're getting the turnovers. Like, in these games that they're losing off turnovers, like, when you think back on it, not the Browns game so much, but I'm trying to think, like, the Vikings game, they got turnovers. That was a big turnover game. Bears game, I think they got, like, a pick down the stretch. I mean, they're getting picks, but I don't know. Yeah, it's the turnovers that are killing them. That's kind of the end-all, be-all, whether it be a fumble here, a pick there. And, I mean, I think my least favorite thing is that when you look at the Joe Burrow picks, like, when you can look at his season from a deep view, he looks like he's having a bad year because of how many picks. But when you look at it, and especially if you're not a Bengals fan, you haven't watched the games, like that Jamar one, there's a bunch of different interceptions throughout the year that are tipped or just not necessarily on him. Like, they still count that one of the Bears as a pick. Don't they really think that's a pick? If anything, the only thing that I really don't love about Joe's game right now is just the fact that he's not feeling the pocket as well as I think he was last year. And I don't think that's the knee anymore. It's just like being a, it's a weird thing that I just don't know what's going on. He's just not feeling it right. He's not stepping up at the right spot. Like, I don't really blame the strip sack on him as much as I think other people are. Mm-hmm. I think Jonah just got waxed on that play. And I mean, it happens. And a lot of people are saying if he throws the ball earlier, I mean, we don't know if that's his first read or not. That's the also the thing. It didn't look like he was looking to Jamar because he was on the right coming all the way to the left. But I don't know. And also, I haven't even seen the play where you see him open deep. But
yeah, from everything I heard is that everybody had the issue with Burrow's strip sack because he was, the end took a 10-yard route, basically. So all Joe really needed to do was step up and deliver that ball, and it would have been a touchdown. It's just a big what-if game, and it's just frustrating, too. I have a big issue with coaching in this game, too. And not even on the defensive side of the ball. I think Zach did not have a good game. I think the one thing that we talked about, too, you call a timeout.
Yeah.
On a 2-point conversion.
That's the big one.
And then come out of it and get a false start. And so Zach says he called the wrong play. How?
Yeah. Especially when you run a, you assume that 2-point play you probably have worked on in the week prior. You have like a play that you like or you're going to run in that position. I mean, Chargers did. They ran a Philly special on us. That was where we said it was clowning.
And I just am so frustrated because every time I want to love Zach Taylor, I just can't do it.
See, and it's tough, too, because when you look at this game, I do think there's – I don't like Zach when his back's against the wall. I feel like that's when he loses what he wants to do or what he's good at, because there are plays in this game that I do think were schemed right, like the crosser when Jamar's open and they get strip sacked. I think that was a great play call. I think the play when Jamar fumbles it, I think that's a good play call, but just happens. I think there's stretches where Zach panics, and I think he kind of loses it for a minute. And it's normally when he loses it, he doesn't get it back. They got it back in this game. Mm-hmm. The first quarter was terrible. Kind of after those two turnovers, they kind of just were just running the ball. I just don't know what they were doing at this point. I didn't watch the game back yet, but they just kind of abandoned. I think their gameplay was so heavily run that when both of their big pass plays that were supposed to work and were going to work didn't go their way, he kind of panicked.
Yeah. And it's crazy that they were able to get back in this game, honestly.
And that's the thing that I hate about it is because also as a fan, like, I love when people on Twitter, I love the Bengals. I think we all do. Like, as much as I, like, say the we thing, like, I hate when people are like, no more victories. It's like, we are fans. We are allowed to have more victories. These are, like, our guys. Mm-hmm. So that's the big thing is they fought. I'm going to be honest, the Bengals team and probably from 2011, 2014, if they go down 22, especially with Marvin's play calling, you're probably not getting back in that game.
Yeah.
Or 24. In this game, they go all the way back. They go 24-22. They have great defensive stops. They have really good offense. T. Higgins also exploding over the past 2 weeks. That's amazing to see. And then it just falls short. It spurts out. And I mean, it happens. It's the NFL. It's the NFL.
My thing, and this is why I refuse to panic on this game. If they would have, they looked bad, but you take away a strip sack, a fumble, and two fumbles, and they win this game by two scores.
Yeah, that's the thing too, is those plays are such big momentum shifters, and that's, I want to say it's like 17 points that the Chargers got up that, because they got the three from the touchdown from the strip, and then they got three from the Jamar, and then they got seven from the fumble.
Yeah, and it's also frustrating, too, that you try to give a guy the ball 20 times on rushes, and he's averaging 2.8 yards a rush. It just can't happen. And I know Joe's hurt. I know he was hurt, but everybody knew that whoever passed the ball was going to win it. And I don't understand. Their game plan, it was the same thing they were going to try to do against the Steelers and the Raiders. And the Chargers, and the Chargers said, the only way you're going to beat us is if Joe Burrow throws the ball better than Herbert.
And the crazy part is he almost did.
Yeah, he almost did. But why? Everybody else knows that's the plan. Why? This is what I'm talking about. Why does this coaching staff not know?
It's tough. It was definitely, they were not going to, it's what you said, they were not going to let you beat them on the ground. I'm trying to find the stats that Andrew Russell tweeted about the game, got some Chargers fans in their feeling. It's where he did kind of a comparison thing from the PFF numbers, and I really liked it. It was a pretty cool comparison. I do think a lot of the times in the NFL, people attribute wins just way too much of a quarterback stat, because I don't think that's the case. I think you have to look at the situation and everything. So this is the Joe Burrow versus Justin Herbert in Week 13. PFF passing grade, Joe Burrow 73, Justin Herbert 66. Clean pocket grade, Joe Burrow 93, Herbert 77.7. Big time throws, Burrow 4, Herbert 1, drops, Burrow 4, Herbert 0. So I think Joe had a good game. And I mean, especially when you look at it from the finger thing, the guy had a dislocated finger and played pretty much the entire game with it and was throwing dimes. I think we've seen some of not the best throws of his career, but there were two big time throws after that. Not even ones that should have been touchdowns either, but just big time throws that I'm not sure if he makes his first year. And he's doing this with a bad, the one that I, in my mind is the Tyler Boyd. They're both Tyler Boyd plays, but Tyler Boyd over the middle and then Tyler Boyd crosser where they kind of run into that. I think, I don't even know what it was, but they ran into the thing on the sideline. Both those balls were on a dime. And he, I think Joe had a good game. And I, it's so hard to say someone has a good game when you have to do two picks. But when you look at the picks, you don't throw the second one if the first one isn't thrown. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And another thing that I just want to point out too, I think we're going to start seeing those receivers hit their stride. They, you need to keep throwing the ball deep to Jamar Chase. You can see,
yeah,
even if it's in double coverage sometimes. I mean, obviously, don't be dumb about it, but we don't even know if Jamar can beat double coverage because they don't throw it.
Yeah, they don't even attempt.
I mean, just imagine, you know, if he can come down with some of these. And if you notice, they ran cloud coverage, which is a little bit different. You saw the Steelers do it a little bit with Minkah. That's how they ended up getting
the pick,
pick on the T-ball.
Yeah.
I think... there could be some really big opportunities. I don't, the 49ers don't have an elite safety.
Their DBs are bad.
Yeah. Like
they're banged up. I'm pretty sure they have Josh Norman on their team because they're so banged up.
This is my thing with this Sunday. You should make this a 14-0 game and then like make Jimmy Garoppolo beat you. There's absolutely zero reason to try to get in a dogfight. There's no reason to try to run the ball a million times this game.
I mean,
other than if you think Joe's hurt.
And that's something we don't know at this point, recording Monday night. So we don't really know the severity. He says he's going to play. But obviously, if it's worse than he's leading on, obviously that could be an issue. But yeah, this is not a team you really want to run. You don't want this to be a... if it's a 14-0 game, like final, you lost. Because there's no way that you're going to outrun them. They're going to outrun you. I mean, they have arguably the best offensive player in football this year, and it's Trent Williams, and he's having like one of the best tackle seasons of all time at this point. His run blocking is absolutely phenomenal, so that's going to be really interesting to see him versus Trey Henderson. Yeah, just looking back on the Chargers game, just it makes me scratch my head so much, because this is a game when you go into it and you look at the matchup. One, kudos to the Chargers for being kind of stepping up. They knew they were weak in run defense, and they said, you're not going to beat us there. So, and especially having Asante Samuel Jr., I wish they would have passed more. We both agreed with that. I just want to see a game where, and he kind of had it this game, not as much because I think T had some gaudier numbers, but I want to see like 75, 80, 90 for the receivers. I want to see them just have a game where all the receivers like kind of get their share and kind of do the Tom Brady treatment, but not so Tom Brady, because Tom Brady doesn't really have three receivers that go off. He only really has one. But if they have a game where they get kind of the fair share to everybody, and we kind of talked about that with Tyler Boyd, he's kind of not getting left out, but I feel like there's so much of the offense that when you need a third down conversion, he can be the guy, and I just don't think they're doing that right now.
Yeah, and we saw it a little bit this week,
but this also game. When you're down so much, it's kind of hard.
It is difficult, and that's why I think it's so important. I don't like that they defer. Have a little bit more of but have a little bit more feel for your team.
I would defer too.
When they defer and the team scores first, I don't know what the stats are. I might have to try to look it up. It doesn't go the same. I feel like there have been a decent amount of games. Interesting. I feel like this is literally, I haven't looked
anything
up. That would
be a cool analytic thing to look at.
But it feels like the game script is made for them to score first. And if they do not score first, or it has to be 0-0. So if they get that first stop, that first defensive stop, then it goes perfect.
Well, then my thing is, if that's your game script, you probably have a pretty bad game script.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And I mean, but that's kind of what we said earlier, where I think the issue is not that they don't believe in their game script, but I feel like when they go down, and I don't even think that's as much on Zach Taylor. I think it's more on the team. I feel like they kind of panic. They get a little antsy, and I think that's an issue.
We're just kind of going in a circle at this point, but it's just so frustrating that a team that has literally no pass rushers or corners, and they tried to run the ball 20 times when they were averaging 2.8 yards a carry, when they were able to take shots. They hit a lot of big shots. I mean, I'm counting the Jamar one as a hit, even though it's an interception.
Both really should have been hits, and then you have the T-ball.
Yeah, he was open a lot. T is getting his right now, too. They have to find a way to throw the ball better. There's way too many target or too many big time targets to be throwing the ball like this.
I saw something where it was Joe Burrow's like really bad off play action right now, and whether they, you're not really going to be able to tell why, but it's just something with how they're running the play action off it. It's not going well for them, and I think you kind of saw that. I think it's something about the free rusher getting to him. I don't think he's sensing it. Not sensing it, but I just don't think he's reacting well to having that free rusher kind of like ditches the ball, so they're not getting a ton of yards out of that. But yeah, just when you look, it's what you said. It's a game of what if. I'm trying to get a few more positives. We already talked about T, Trey, Jermaine.
I've got one. BJ Hill.
Yeah, talk about a robbery.
I mean, Billy Price for BJ Hill. They
and that is somewhat kind of funny, just specifically on this game when you don't have a backup center, which, I mean, I'm not sure how much better Billy Price plays in that situation than Trey Hill, which maybe you don't get the penalties, but, I mean, Billy was never a pass-blocking, like, guru, so.
I think we got a pick, too.
Yeah, I think we got a seventh. Robbery. And, I mean, you're probably going to see, they should extend him.
Yeah,
absolutely. You have a lot of guys on this team that you should extend.
I know they're not the same player and not the same game, but he has a little bit of, like, a Wallace Gilberry-type vibe.
Yeah, I can understand that.
He's not the best player on the defense, but he does everything he needs to do. Yeah. And he's kind of like not a rotational guy, but he just does a good job and does everything they ask. He's always in one of the top like 10 grades.
Yeah, he grades really well on PFF.
So, yeah, that and Sam Hubbard has been doing everything they ask him to.
And then some. He's gotten way more sacks than I would have thought he would at this point in the season, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is maybe Hendrickson being a little more of a creator than we thought he would be, but that's really good to see. I mean, all in all, I think there's definitely some positives, definitely some negatives. Should we hop into UC first, or should we talk about Niners? Let's do UC first, then we'll end with some Niners.
Niners. Okay. Going to the playoffs.
Pretty exciting.
I don't know what's going to happen, honestly. If they get killed, so what?
Yeah. It's more about the actually getting there, proving you can do it. And when you've seen other teams, kind of like UCF, they didn't do it to the scale that UC did, but kind of have the undefeated season, the small guy not getting in, feeling snubbed, but then UC actually doing it. It's awesome. I hate people that are like kind of rooting against it. They're like, oh, they're going to get waxed by all of it. It's like, yeah, so would like half the country.
Yeah, so would any other four seed.
Yeah, I saw somebody say something along the lines of, like, oh, they're going to lose by two touchdowns. It's like, didn't Georgia just lose by two touchdowns, who you all crowned as the best team in the nation?
Yeah, and I think UC, the one team, and this is going to sound crazy, I'll give Ohio State credit here, the one team that I was worried about UC having to play would be in Ohio State. A team with the elite
offense.
Pass.
And that's the thing about this college football playoffs. There's not, I would say Alabama's offense has shades of it, but I don't think they're elite, and they just lost Michi.
Yeah. So now Sauce is going to be on Williams. I think that's,
yeah, I have no
Jameson
idea.
Williams. I think that's his name. He'll be on him, and Kobe Bryant has a good chance to make. I like this matchup. I like where UC's at. One of my Alabama friends asked if we could rush the passer, and I think we can. There were eight sacks. One thing I do want to say, the loudest I think I've ever heard a stadium was Sauce Gardner's sack.
Yeah.
Deafening. That place was a madhouse. And I've been to a bunch of UC games now, but to big ones too. The UCF game in 2019, that's one that comes up. It twice as loud. It didn't even compare. So it was a fun day. Houston really, I think their plan was just to try to make UC beat themselves. They were trying to fight the whole game.
Yeah.
Kind of get UC. And UC beat them pretty handily, honestly. They covered the spread, and they should have beat them by more. But
yeah. I bet them to cover the spread, so that's all I really cared about. But
they covered. But
I do think it's interesting. I mean, Alabama's Alabama, so I think it is going to be a difficult game, obviously, but it's more about actually being there. It's going to be cool to see the hype up. I mean, even when I watch it, I really don't care that much about UC football or like most of the college teams in general. I really don't care about. I'm more of just like a Cincinnati fan. So it's nice to see anybody do well. And I mean, especially when they won after and you see all the hype, everybody's so excited. It makes you emotional because at the end of the day, I think that's the common thing of all people in Cincinnati's like they deserve it. Like the city deserves somebody good. They deserve a champion. And maybe they don't get it with UC, but they're closer than they've been in, I don't even know how many years. But it's just nice to have some representation that's positive for a while after a rough stretch with the Bengals, a rough stretch with the Reds, and after the Reds kind of let us down this year. And Bengals are kind of halting right now or in spiraling maybe, but it was just nice to see them pull it out and make it in.
And it's also another thing. Alabama, going into that SEC championship game, was coming off of a four-time overtime win against
Auburn.
They beat Arkansas by 7, and then they barely beat LSU. All of those teams, not SEC juggernauts this year.
Yeah.
I think UC has a good chance of winning. Again, you can't discount the fact that UC went into Notre Dame, which is one of the hardest. Notre Dame had almost a good case. They would have been in if Alabama lost. I truly think it would have been Notre Dame before. They went in and beat a team that was a fringe playoff team by multiple scores and left points on the board. It's hard to discount that. Everybody's going to try to discount it, which is fine. And at the end of the day, we got to be what everybody's been saying, Cincinnati versus the world. But it's truly what it is.
I hate that stuff. I remember when Ohio State did it. I hated that too.
But okay, have you seen the line, the betting line?
No.
What do you think it is? We're gonna do some. Pardon my take. Whose line is it, anyways?
Gosh, see, it's tough because I don't know what like the what they really think of UC. I would say the neutral site.
I will say it's surprising, but I'm not gonna tell you in what way I think it's surprising.
13.5.
It is 13.5.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
No way.
13.5.
Does that mean I have a problem?
Did you see what the over under was?
It's probably lower than I would, maybe like 55?
58. Close.
God, do I have an issue? Do I have a problem?
Too many lines in our days.
13, I can't believe I got that on the nose.
Yeah, that was good. I think that's shocking. Usually, I think what I had seen a little while ago, the average line for 1 versus 4 has always been 16 points.
And it's been a blowout
every time. And they always cover it.
That's why I never understand the whole... That's my issue with the expand the playoffs thing is like 1 and 4 is never close. What makes you think 2 and 8 is going to be close?
4,
they're going to get killed.
I saw one, if it was the current format that they want to play the expanded playoff at.
Yeah, where 1 and 2 would have the bye.
UC would play Utah.
Yeah, I mean, massacre.
A 3-loss Utah in at Nippert. I don't want to see that. I'll be completely, or they would have played, it would either have been Utah or Pittsburgh.
Pitt?
I mean, I just.
Oh, even though no one cares. What do you think about the fake slide?
I think it's stupid.
I think scumbag move.
Yeah.
But also
but good for
sick.
Him.
Also
yeah.
Sick.
Good for him. The thing is.
One of the cooler things I've ever seen on a football field, if I'm being 100% honest.
Yeah. Well, if I was those players for the rest of the game, I would have been like, even if you slide, I'm going to kill
your
you.
Head off.
Yeah.
And they would have gotten in trouble for it, which sucks.
But. Yeah, but it's still fine. I don't think. Pickett would ever fake slide again. If they
I don't think anybody
crushed him.
I saw somebody talk about it, and I don't think anybody's going to like be able to. Like, that's such an insanely hard... The like science behind it almost doesn't make sense. How he was able to like stop it, but he didn't like slow down at all either.
Yeah, he it was almost like his shoulders. He started kind of dropping a little
and
bit.
And he like dropped the back leg too, which was the interesting part.
It is... It's not a cool move, but also good for him for trying it, and it worked pretty well. It college football, it just is what it is. It's always the same thing because nobody can recruit at those same levels as Georgia and Bama, and I think we're gonna see it now too. I think Lincoln Riley is gonna be really good at USC, and all those kids that go
from Cali to leave
Cali to the SEC are just gonna stay there. But that's why it's always cool when you see UC who
get a big recruit or something.
I don't even know if they have a 4-star playing right now. The only 4-star they have is Prater at backup quarterback. And so, I mean, Sauce Gardner was a 3-star.
Good for him. That's insane. 3-star playing his way to a first-round pick.
He weighed 158 pounds when he showed up to UC. He's huge now. So
that's insane.
I think it's just a testament. Also, I know this is not it is a Cincinnati thing, but Marcus Freeman just took the Notre Dame job.
Yeah.
And this defense that's playing right now is all his. So
props to him.
It's cool. I think me and Scott talked about it last week, though. Brian Kelly, I think, is my least favorite Cincinnati sports person of all time. I don't know really? Who else would be up there. I think Jeremy Hill's in the top five.
Oh, 100%. He's my number one. I don't think it's close either.
Who else do you think's up there?
I mean, some would say Vontaze.
People
would, though. I'm trying to think of, like, who the mass public would say. Who's a Reds person that I think people would hate?
I honestly don't know.
Amir Garrett, you guys all hate him?
No, I don't hate Amir Garrett. I think he just played bad, and his slider needs more depth. Other than that...
I mean, you guys were ruthless on the group message, well, and I was defending my guy.
When you talk like that, and you have an 8 ERA...
I mean, when you're willing to fight an entire baseball team for my team, you're my guy forever.
I'm not saying I don't love him. I just think he could have played better.
I mean, you sounded like you loved anything but him in the group message all season. But that's
the
size of point.
I will say I am shocked that they tendered him a contract.
Marvin Lewis?
No, I don't.
People, but that, I'm talking
you're
about
talking people.
People.
Okay, all right.
Because we've talked about many times.
Carson Palmer?
It's been, Carson's up there. But Marvin's too close to get his flowers. He's going to be a while.
Yeah.
It's going to take the next time they're bad. It's going to be the next time they go on the next time they pick first overall. We'll be like, oh, we kind of had it good with Marvin.
You think Joe Brady's going to be a Bengals coach this week?
No.
No?
I saw a lot of people saying it, and I think Zach's too smart.
Oh, yeah.
Why would you bring in a guy that they could replace you with?
Yeah.
It makes too much sense. But I'm trying to think of more people who hated people in Cincy sports that played for Cincy.
I don't think
people hate Andy.
No.
People love Andy too much.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, but I would say mine's Jeremy Hill for sure, like, without a doubt.
Brian Kelly.
You can't fumble away a playoff game and then talk shit to the fans.
That is true. You
can't do that.
You can't leave your school. I was worried Fickell was going to leave. I thought he was for sure. But now
I thought he was gone.
Now he
is he going to stay forever?
Is there any other job? Okay, another thing I think.
Ohio State.
Yes, but
that's going to suck.
One thing that was a little worrisome, he said he did talk to some schools, but none of them were willing to wait until after the AAC championship. So let's say if
they change the rules on that at some point, which I assume they probably will, that's going
to
suck.
Yeah, they need to change the recruiting periods.
They do need to do the same thing for the NFL too, because they still have that weird, how teams fire their coach super early, but they won't. Like, talk to a lot of people think that's why the Bieniemy thing, too, aside from his weird stuff, is he's always in the playoffs, so he doesn't interview.
Yeah, they need to. The NFL's always weird to me, though.
Yeah.
But I guess you want to get your head start on whatever. But yeah, they need to change the early.
Because recruiting is the issue, is you have to be signed up so that way you can recruit.
Well, the early signing period is in 2 weeks.
That's insane.
So think about that. If you want to get there and get your class set and talk to those guys, got to be there, and you can't play in your bowl game
in 2 weeks. So what? So will you see? Will they like send somebody
for what?
Like recruiting, or will they? Oh, how much time do they have till that? I didn't even think about that. How long do they have
for?
When's the game? Like the?
Oh, it's the 31st.
Oh wow, they've got a hell of a lot of time.
Fickell was just. I just saw a tweet before we started going. Him and one of the defensive assistants one of the assistants. Was visiting their top wide receiver recruit.
Wow. That's why it was so interesting to me when they talk about the whole, like, a possible NFL coach going down to college. That'll never happen.
But I think it is crazy.
Unless you suck.
I think it is crazy that Fickell, if he wouldn't take Notre Dame or Oklahoma, which I think are two jobs that he would do really good at.
Notre Dame more so to me than Oklahoma.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of fits the Oklahoma vibe. Not a giant... Not a giant.
He strikes me a little more gritty for Oklahoma.
Too gritty. That's fine. But if he's not going to take any job like that, or USC where Bone, the athletic director, hired him, which I think people took way too just.
I don't think that was very realistic.
Yeah, they looked into that way too much. I think it was kind of lame. But if he wasn't going to take any of those jobs, LSU, anything like that, he might be here forever. I can't think of another job.
Ohio State
But realistically.
Yeah. I don't know. Ryan, hopefully he's there. I like him. I mean, I remember Joe Burrow said when he was thinking about transferring, UC was one of the places he thought about because of Fickell.
Yeah.
Because he had him at Ohio State.
I told this to Scott. I don't know if you heard it. Do you know who's responsible for Desmond Ridder being at UC? You know who gave him his first offer?
Who?
Zach Taylor. Zach Taylor was the offensive coordinator in 2016 for UC.
Oh, my God.
So he was one of the only people that offered Desmond Ridder. And
we're going to have to thank Zach Taylor for everything good we have in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And Joe Burrow.
And I think they said that out of all of the Tuberville recruits, Desmond was one of the few that they still kept the promise to. So yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I think it's just a cool little UC. Runs deep. Yeah. It's a cool little UC story.
Yeah. So give me your prediction for the game. Do you think they win?
Yeah. I think they win.
Wow. Getting ballsy.
I don't know. I don't know a score. I hate even, I've never been just less confident in all my predictions.
And this one?
Because, one of my bold predictions, it kind of came true, even though I said Jesse Bates would be back and he had his career worst graded game and got picked on.
Got mossed by Gut. I don't even know who the hell that guy is.
Yeah. Yeah, that was bad, but they need him to start playing better. But
give me a prediction first. Then we'll talk about Kittle versus the Bengals.
Oh, I was literally about to get into that. But okay, do you want to score?
I don't know. Do they cover?
What's the spread?
It was 13.5.
Oh, he's talking to UC?
Yeah, I'm talking to UC.
Oh. I thought you were talking about the Bengals. No, no.
I still need your UC prediction.
Oh, a UC prediction?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say they win.
I'm trying to think.
Not by a field goal, because we can't kick those.
If they kick a field goal in that game, I'm going to kill someone. They need to operate as if their kicker does not exist.
They literally don't have a kicker.
That's what they need to do.
Cole Smith, the guy, it's funny because Cole Smith did that one to win the AAC championship last year against Tulsa, and now is one of the least liked people in the city.
Are you going to hedge your happiness?
No.
Wow, that's bold.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. I'm going all in.
If I was a betting man, which I'm not, I'm winking at Jake right now.
Yeah.
I would probably bet on Alabama just because it's Alabama, but all of my heart wants UC to win. Just one, so everybody who's rooting against them now that doesn't like Alabama can suck it, and then also because screw Alabama.
What a monumental win. If UC wins that, it almost changes the landscape of college football.
If you wrote that, if you gave that to a Hollywood director, he'd puke on you and throw it out.
Well, I think if UC won, they would have to extend the playoff, right?
I mean, yeah, but it's going to be the thing where we said with the UCF is if you get blown out, never again.
Also, since we are getting to the end of, I have to take some cheap shots at UCF. I think it's hilarious. Oh, yeah. I think it's hilarious that their fans are trying to say UCF like gave them the path. No, you never went in and beat a top 10 team at home. It's not even close. If you look at their schedules, you could have never have made a case that they
no.
And one of them, I love the guy that said, I talked to USF people. No one cares.
Who cares?
Yeah. No one in asked who would win between 17 UCF and 21 Cincinnati. All said UCF. That UCF team had four people drafted.
One of them was the guy with one hand.
Yes.
Who was on a practice squad. Shaquem Griffin.
This UC team, off the top of my head, could have up to 8.
And they're probably going to have, what, maybe one or two first rounders?
Do you think Desmond Ridder could be a first rounder? Sauce Gardner could be a first?
I don't think Desmond. I think Sauce is almost a lock.
Sauce. Majai Sanders will be a high one or two. Alec Pierce is really good.
I'm thinking like round 3 or 4 for him.
Yeah, but you look at that UCF schedule. You beat UC, but that didn't matter back then. 17 wasn't a big year. Their big win is they beat South Florida and they beat Memphis, and then they beat Auburn in that bowl. But they beat a 3-loss Auburn. It doesn't matter for me. But I just have to make sure UCF fans know. It's not.
Yeah, all the UCF team. Fans that listen to the Kings of Queen City.
Yeah, so they had that UCF team had Mike Hughes, first round pick, Traquan Smith, Jordan Atkins, and Shaquem Griffin.
Who's the first guy?
Mike Hughes.
I don't know. Oh, the Bills.
He was drafted by the Vikings. He was a corner.
Oh, never mind. Different guy.
But just looking at that, they'll have four people drafted. I'm going to say this. In the crazy.
First 3 rounds.
First 3 rounds, yeah. So we'll see. I've got to get that off my chest.
Yeah. Now let's switch back to the Bengals because no news for the Reds because of the lockout, which sucks. But we might get into that into another day, not or maybe the offseason when the Bengals are done because they probably won't be figured out by then. But Bengals Niners. Let's do a who's lining his way. Look it up. Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
This one is going to be interesting because I don't know.
Before I look it up, we'll guess together.
Okay.
I'm
going to guess we're favored because of how the Niners lost. I'm going to say it's like five.
Five?
Yeah.
I'm going to say.
Because they're not just going to give us home field advantage.
I'm going to say. So you're saying.
It's not going to be just three. Oh, saying, if it is, it's going to be three or five.
I'm saying 2.5.
2.5?
Okay. Yeah.
Let's do great podcast.
One.
We're one. It's a pick 'em. Wow.
Yeah, it's a one crazy. 1 point. That was
might be the value bet of the week. Go get the Bengals early. Wait, did I say that?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that line changes?
Oh yeah, I think that line moves a lot. Whether it's one way or the other, I think that by the end of the week's probably a 3 or 4.
Did Deebo Samuel play?
No, he did not play. He was out.
If he plays, I'm a little worried.
I mean, I'm worried regardless. He could be out. I mean, George Kittle, people kept saying all season he's not like a top three tight end, and you're all idiots if you ever thought that. I mean, he's tight end one if he's healthy, and he is, and they're finally realizing if you throw to him, you're more than likely going to win. I hate that matchup for us. Bengals play awful against tight ends, as we all know, so I am expecting a big week for George Kittle. I would bet every over on every prop you can in the books for him, because I think he's going to have a big game.
What do you... Well, okay, so just listening to this, Fred Warner is expected to practice on Wednesday.
Not great.
And Deebo Samuel is day-to-day and hopeful to play.
Hopeful so, doesn't sound great to me.
Right now, so per
Fred
Shanahan...
Fred Warner is a big key for them.
Yeah, per Shanahan, he expects to get linebacker Fred Warner back this week. However, it's too early to tell on Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, don't like playing against Fred Warner. He's a great player, probably one of the best linebackers in the league. Super young. It's going to be a similar thing. They're going to have a decent rush. I don't think they're... I mean, you've got Bosa. You still got... they still have Armstead, don't they?
Yeah.
Damn. That's a good rush. That's going to be another test. If it's Trey Hopkins or not, that's going to be a rough one on the inside. Just got to hope Reef's back. The offense, again, you probably should be able to score. They have really bad DBs. Fred Warner makes it hard. So does Bosa. So does Armstead. But, I mean, when you look at that cornerback room, I can't really name it. I know Josh Norman's on the team. But besides that, they're banged up. They're battered. Don't know how other safeties are playing. I think they have a rookie safety who's been playing pretty well. I don't know there. With that one, I like the value of the Bengals at one, but I think it's going to be an ugly game. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring, fun game like I want it to be. I think it's going to be a slow, methodical run game for most of the time until one team figures out they can pass a little bit. Because I think if the Niners decide to throw to George Kittle, I don't think there's going to be much the Bengals can do to stop that.
Yeah, and the 49ers are a good team. Yeah, they're always very well coached, and so I'm always a little worried about that. But we'll see. I think if Deebo doesn't play, you have to make sure you have one job, and that's that Kittle doesn't beat you.
Yeah, and I think that's hard because my thing, it normally our thing whenever we play quarterbacks that we don't think are ideal, to make them beat you. But the thing is, when you have George Kittle, it makes that guy beating you that much easier. So normally I would say make Jimmy G beat you, but with George Kittle, I think they could probably do that.
Yeah.
It'll
be interesting. I think they're going to win, though. I think that there's going to be a sense of urgency on Sunday, and I hope that the fans show up. I hope that it's not supposed to rain so that these fans actually show up and realize
a little bit of rain never hurt anybody.
It's just annoying that people complained so much for 5 years about how
so bad.
They're such a bad team. And now you have a chance to make a very big statement and
no one shows up.
Yeah, no one shows up.
But also, we did talk about that. I do think a part of that is because the Chargers have barely any fans.
That is.
Because when you think about it, there were very few Chargers fans there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about the big pockets that were gone, That's normally, I would assume that's like the other team kind of carrying their load of ticket sales. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't think the Chargers did that, but yeah. I'm trying to think what I think, who's going to win. I'd say today, I think the 49ers win. Could change with the injury report, how it comes out. Everything else changes, especially how the line changes. At plus one, so that means they're probably underdogs. I'd love the Niners as like a value bet. But I think this is a huge Ja'Marr Chase game. This is not going to be a Tyler Boyd game because they're going to put Warner on him, and I don't like that matchup at all. I could maybe see a small CJ Uzomah game. He has not really gotten involved in the past few weeks. I'd like to see that be done a little bit more. But I think this has got to be a big Ja'Marr game. I think he has to, if he has the chance to take the top off, and if you have these post plays, you have to hit him. You have to.
And it has to be early. You have to take a lead early in this game.
And I think if I think you do, I think it's not like blow up potential, but I think you can win this game handedly. If you have a lead and they can't run the ball on you just to take the time off, I think you can win this game fairly easily.
Yeah, and I'll take our defense against Jimmy G any day. So but it's imperative that they get a lead early.
Yeah, the lead early counts, and I think the way they drew up the shot plays, I liked it. So I think hopefully they do that again this week, and then hopefully they can start hitting on them.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited. It's fun to be playing meaningful football in December.
And it's 4:25 game. I don't think we've ever been to a 4:25 game in Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's going to be weird. It's going to be like a half-night game.
Yeah, I have no idea. This is going to be the weirdest like tailgate of all time because we're going to have like games on.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
I'm going to bring a TV so we can watch them. But
yeah, yeah, I'm kind of excited.
I'm always excited for Bengals games. Right now I'm a little gloom on the after the Chargers game, but it should be done fun. Do we have anything else you want to end off on?
No, not really.
Okay, well, that's going to be it for us here at the Kings of Queen City. Make sure to go check out the blog. Make sure to follow us all on Twitter. Jake likes to gloat that he's been the most active recently, but that will change. Scott and Quinn, I'm talking to you guys if you listen to this. But we hope you guys enjoyed. We will see you guys next time. Hooday.
Go Cats.